Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a new year, new botches.
New season.
Yeah, new season. And we're going to just kind of kick it off pretty relaxed. We're going to do an episode here on the Poker Run. And well, that's going to be before, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll come out.
That'll drop before. So this is actually like, you're going to hear this and be like, well, duh, you already came out with it. But I keep forgetting that just because we're recording it before doesn't mean it's actually going to drop before. Silly me.
Yeah.
But I guess we're just going to do a quick chat. We've been kind of chatting it up anyway and talking about, you know, or whatever upgrades we plan on doing or buy our newest buys. You know, Christmas was just around the corner here and we all got some goodies here and there.
Oh, I got no goodies for the truck.
Well, technically you just got some goodies for the truck.
You count oil change as one.
Yeah, that was needed and a goodie.
Yeah, but I had to pay for all of it.
Yeah, well, I get that. Well, I would still consider that a Christmas present, just not for you, for your truck.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's fair. So,
and a new wheel bearing.
There you go. So, well, I guess we'll start with Alex then. So, what's your truck? Does your truck have a name?
The 4Runner with F-O-R-R-U-N-N-E-R.
Okay. I'm just curious because I was like, mine has a name. And I didn't know if yours did.
Yeah, no, I never named it. It just never, I always would come up with something and then it just never stuck.
Right. So you said you did a wheel bearing. You did a oil change.
Yeah, I have to do a front wheel bearing again.
Again?
Like, yeah, again. Yeah.
What do you,
again.
What do you, what?
Yeah, my driver said wheel bearing failed. I can't drive my truck right now.
Oh my God, dude.
And the black truck won't start. I'm doing great, man.
What?
It's starting up with issues again, still?
No, it just straight up won't start. It refuses. I think the starter went out.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, things are great, man.
All right. You know what? I see the appeal behind third gens visually, but I'm telling you mechanically, there's I don't box. Know why, but they are meant to be shit boxes.
Okay. So here's the thing though. Both of these trucks have over 250,000 miles on them.
Yeah, brother is Stockholmed apparently.
The black truck had the ever-loving shit beat out of it before we got it. Mm-hmm. And I beat the ever-loving shit out of mine.
And then he beat the ever-loving shit out of it in New Year's, too. So. And now he's like, it won't start.
No, the black one beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, beat the shit out of Alex. He's like, I seen what you did to my cousin.
Yeah, I need to. I haven't decided if it's actually a starter problem or if the cable going down to the starter has an issue. But when you turn the key, nothing happens. All the power's there. Nothing, huh? Yeah, no, nothing.
Did you tap on the starter? It's been cold. You probably sunk the starter in one of those puddles and now it's just freezing up.
Oh, it's been cold. I just let the truck sit there because it's too cold to work on it.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna like, man, if only I had someone with a bay, but then their bay is limited hours, so it's like, does it even count? It's not.
Yeah,
sucks. Stupid winter hours.
And then I've also been working like 13 hours a day because my farmhand decided to break a feed line.
So dramatic. Feed line. Yeah,
He just broke a feed line and decided not to come to work to that the next day. You know, no big deal.
That's fair. I'd do the same thing if I broke something crucial to operations. I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm out.
No, in case he's listening, I'll give him some credit. Him not coming to work this morning was not his fault. Completely.
Yeah, because he cut the brake lines on the guy's car, and that's why he couldn't show up. He's in a ditch.
Yeah. I took him out.
It was not his fault. I caused the issue. I'm the reason. No, I so while you had a, I guess you did some maintenance on your truck and now you have another wheel bearing. What about you, Mark? Did you get any Christmas presents for your baby? The silverback?
Silverback. I was calling it Silverside.
Oh, we Silverside? Didn't even talk about my $200 Icon shocks.
Hey, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to.
I thought yeah, this is still under wraps.
I mean, it is because they're fifth gen shocks and I have to convert them, but it's like $100 to convert them. Yeah, so I got six Icon shocks, three coilovers and three shocks for $200. Out of the six, there's one that leaks. So, I mean, that one will have to be rebuilt. The other five seem fine. One of them's brand new in box. So there will be a Icon Shock install wrap-up episode coming up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm such a glass half empty kind of guy that I just see the problems before they start. And all I can say to Alex and all the other listeners out there is like, I hope it works so well for you. But when I hear this stuff, I'm like, third gen issues. Like, I just...
Hey, just Shane doesn't things. Have issues.
Shane doesn't beat the shit out of his third gen, man.
See, it's not a third gen problem. It's a me problem.
It's a user error.
Third gen shouldn't be beaten. That's if you want a third gen, you have to treat them right. You have to finesse them a little bit. Get her chocolates, get her flowers, do oil changes every once in a while.
I mean, to be fair, I really didn't have any issues for a year and they all happened at once.
Yeah. As soon as I met him, like just shit started happening constantly.
Yeah. Before that, like, I beat the shit out of it every weekend without a single problem. So.
Yeah. You know what? I wish I could believe him so much. I really do. But Mark, all I've
Mark,
seen.
Mark.
He's a paid, he's paid actor. It doesn't count because he's been in botches beforehand. He's a paid actor. I just joined botches this year, and from what I've seen, third gens have been nothing but problems. They're gorgeous problems, though. Yeah, I mean, they're gorgeous problems. They're beautiful vehicles.
I mean, it goes places, usually.
Yeah, so does Subarus. That's like literally their motto.
It doesn't get stuck that often. It does get stuck, but not that often.
Yeah, I'll give it that. It does have a winch.
Okay.
No, it does. It goes a lot farther into places where I just take the bypass. Because to me, it's like it's not about the actual obstacle as much as it is making it out of it. So I'm like, hey, yeah, like I'll take that obstacle before it even goes. I got hit with the poke run and I won't go too far into it so we don't spoil our next episode. I
was gonna say that was quite the show.
Yes, but I won't spoil it too much, but I'll say this, that we didn't have Nav from Alex, which we were hoping to have. So Sienna and I did Nav and led the group, and I tell you what, that meant that I was supposed to be the tester, the puddle tester. The obstacle tester.
Was that your first time leading?
Something that difficult, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you did man.
I've led multiple times, but you know, like I did the cryptid and stuff.
Yeah.
I've led little trips multiple times, but nothing, one, not in an actual event like that. And two, something that had such difficult obstacles in it. You know, like holes that were just fucking 2 foot deep. I forget, like you're just driving into a fucking lake.
I forgot we didn't take you through all that ever the first time.
No, we backed out. Yeah, we backed out. I was like, dude, what the fuck? We could have done that for hours. I was having such a good time with that water. But now looking back to how bad the water was this last time we went, I couldn't imagine the lakes that were there from the water. I mean, the water was that bad.
Straight that one downpours. Part. If you remember that one trail, I told you, I'm like, man, I don't know if we should go down there. Like, there's a mud hole down there that is just fucking terrible. And it wasn't nothing today, but or this trip.
But yeah, usually, where I got stuck at, I saw everyone drove through. I'm like, oh, I guess we could have done that one, but
okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've seen other people drive through it too, and I commented that on Mark. I was like, man, we could have went through that. No problem. What the fuck? So, well, we learned it, and like I said, we won't spoil any more from the poker run because we'll have, I guess we can spoil it, but we won't. Yeah. Because this see, yeah, we all got into all it now. It. Yeah, but we won't because this is still a 30-minute sode, and I guess now that we got past Alex's shock reveal, which is going to be really good. Shocker. It's going to be really good. Mark, we're going to move back to you again.
Yep.
did you get any Christmas presents for your baby Silverback?
I call it Silverside, but...
I know. I think Silverback is just going to be my nickname for her.
Yeah, I debated about Silverback or Razorback for a while, and I'm like, how about I call it Silverside, like submarine?
If you do... Oh, dude. Okay, so do a delete on any of your 4x4 stuff on it, and do Navy style lettering on the side. Like USS. What is it? USS?
Yeah.
4x4. That USS would be so Silverside. Cool. And then rivet that on to the fender. That would look so cool.
No, paint it on like the Navy does.
Paint it. Yeah, and then you have to have one of those pinup girls on the back.
Hell yeah. Dude, I love
that would
plan.
Look cool as fuck. It would. And in the front, you gotta have that mean fucking what that torpedo fucking mouth.
No.
What is that?
No.
Is
it? No, he's not like that. That's Air Force. That's Air Force, buddy.
Yeah, I don't care.
Some submarines did though. I mean, I'm thinking that
I'm thinking more of the planes, but I just thought it was cool. I just think with all the where he's going with this. And you could do a periscope.
Oh my god. And it could be a functional periscope so we can see up and above the trees.
Yeah.
What's in front of me? I can't see over this.
With a mesh-tastic note on the top. So if we need distance, we just
the periscope's just going to be like an antenna with a 360 camera that he can look at from the inside of his truck and go, right. Okay, I can see what's coming up in front of me. Like I can see all the obstacles around me.
That would be funny.
But did you get anything for her?
I mean, I guess you want to call it. I got it. Bicolor headlights.
Bulbs. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Dude, those things are sick.
Yeah. I'm really excited for those. Mark shared a link for me. I want to switch to projectors someday, and he shared what his do. Man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could talk about what she's getting this week.
Yeah, I was getting ready there. I was getting there.
Okay. Yeah.
Because of instance of poker run, I'll not disclose that until then, but I have finally got around to it. I am putting on Apex deflators onto my rims and tires.
Oh, yeah. Are you doing the screw-ons or are you going to have them put on?
What Alex has.
Same thing as mine, the real one.
I was looking at the screw-on ones and I'm like, you know, I could just screw them on and take them off and it'd still be faster than doing the regular deflators. Right? And I'm like, because we were looking at them while I was waiting for my Christmas upgrades. Mm-hmm. So I was like, interesting. So that's very exciting though. Those deflators are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we a new compressor soon.
Yeah.
That is in the works. That is definitely in the works. Yeah. Especially after the incident.
Yeah. Because now my compressor is broken.
Oh, that too.
Again.
By the way, how are you going to get my truck over there?
I'm going to take the W11 and put the shop compressor in the bucket, and I'm going to air it up to 150 PSI, and then I'm going to drive the W11 with the shop bucket to your truck, and then I'm going to air up as many tires as I can and then plug it in again.
Where? What is going on?
I have two of my wheels are constantly leaking. They're flat. They're like, there's nothing holding air.
Oh, from the D-bead?
Right. Not just that.
Not just from that, but off-roading in general. My tires went through hell this last week.
So he's got two tires that have dirt in the bead and are leaking air.
Yeah.
And it's at my house with two flat tires, and the air compressor on the 4Runner is broken.
When do you need it?
I don't need it yet, but it needs to get to the shop to get everything installed.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to call Gavin and have him come by and air it up.
I was going to say, I could legitimately do that, especially if it's this weekend because I have this weekend off.
Well, I'm hoping to... We'll know tomorrow when I can make an appointment, but I'm hoping either Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The... yeah, see, I mean, Mark, we were talking about this earlier about guy math because you were like, well, my tires are debeating a lot, and, you know, I should probably get those fixed. And while they're there, I should do these inflators at the same time. Yeah. This is guy math, you know? And then what else? You got anything? You got the headlights, you got deflators, maybe an air compressor in the very near future.
Very near future. I also really need to get to my rear brakes, but
gosh, yeah. I know. That's like you have front ones, so why do you need rear ones?
I've been going this long without them. Do I really need them?
I understand. Dude, I did that with my Stewie too.
Worse.
Your pedal goes to the floor and then your rear end keeps pushing the front end across the ice.
Yeah.
You need to do them.
I do.
Yeah, but the lights were really cool though. I do feel the need. Lighting is pretty important. I will say that.
Oh yeah. I don't remember. It's been bugging me for the last little bit, but the other night Alex was like, "Are your headlights doing anything for brightness?" I'm like, "You know what? I think it's gotten dimmer. Like ever since I bought this truck, it's just been worse and worse." And one night, like, "All right, I need to get headlights."
Is that the conclusion to your upgrades this year so far?
So far, yes.
Me and Alex have talked
about something, but I don't want to put anything out there about that one.
Oh yeah,
you know what?
Keep that quiet.
When you put things out, it tends to jinx things. I tell you,
right.
So we'll move on to mine because this will tie in a little bit. But I mentioned lighting. I added some lights. Sienna was nice enough to get me one of the things that I asked for Christmas, and she got me a switch. Like an off-brand Oxbeam switch panel. And I got that installed, got some ditch lights that she got me installed, and holy shit. You don't realize like how much ditch lights actually like make your life better at night, like when you're out on the trail, but holy shit. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I can see everything around me now. It's nice.
They also scare deer off real well.
Yeah.
I have a hard time just driving on normal roads without my ditch lights.
Oh, it's crazy. And it's one of those things that before, you know, I didn't really notice, but then when I turn them on, it's like, holy shit. It's like, it's almost like someone taking the blinders off of your vision.
Yeah.
And then you're being able to see your peripheral. It's like,
if I drive someone's car that doesn't have ditch lights just on a normal road, I feel like I can't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me. It almost gives me. It almost makes me nervous now to drive without.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know how I made it this far in life without them.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. So I'm really stoked about this panel because it's made wiring lighting in so easy.
For sure,
so easy. Like now, I just need to run the wires straight to the panel. Now I don't have to run them back to a switch, back to blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Just straight to the panel, pick a button and push it, and that's it. And it's so nice because I have a light bar that I've had just sitting in my room that I just didn't feel like wiring up, that I'm gonna wire up soon. I just bought some lights from Joe, Gladiator Joe, if anybody's from MST's listening. Just bought 40 some pods.
Gladiator on Instagram.
Yeah, 40 Gladiator on Instagram. But Gladiator Joe, during the MST event, we bought them from him. And so those are LED pods. So I'll have those and the LED light bar that I'm going to hook up here soon once I find a warm time or spot to do it.
What pods did you buy from him? What brand are they?
They're, I think, LasFit Pro.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't hooked them up to anything, but you know, Joe's good for it. I didn't really need to.
Yeah, he wouldn't sell you junk.
Right. So, which I've learned again here soon. I'll talk about, but so I, yeah, so I got the aux beam, like their triangle pods for ditch lights, and those work pretty well. And it'll be really nice because now I can flash people when they flash me and actually see the sun this time. So
I've been so tempted to do it a couple times. Like, you really don't want to turn your brights off?
Don't fuck with me, Pong.
Dude, yeah. I do it to people when, because I'll, you know, just driving, they always think my lights are bright. So I get flashed all the time.
Yeah, mine too.
So I started, whenever someone does that, if they then turn their brights on, I turn my light bar on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to be able to just put it on. Yep. You want to see the sun? Fine. So,
yeah.
But, you know, my headlights are something that I'm trying to upgrade soon. I talked with Mark and Alex about this a little bit, and I'm probably going to move to projectors. And we found a pretty cheap kit on Amazon that's doable, that if my wife loves me enough, that she'll let me get. And we'll make that move. Yeah, and then my other Christmas gift, which I guess she turned into a birthday gift instead, was after our poker run, my one driver's side tire, after I took the picture of it leaking and sent it to the guys, I actually saw that there were actual rocks and mud in between the bead and, you know, the rim, and I could see them in there. I couldn't dig them out. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to get them replaced anyway. And I was talking about that, then talking about maybe getting new tires at some point. And then of course Gladiator Joe comes in with like, "Hey man, I got a deal that you just can't refuse." And then he lets me know he's got like five brand new 285/70/17s Falcon Wild Peaks for sale. And he'll take like, I think he said like 800 for them. And I'm like, fuck, I'll go and look up the price of them. And they're like $300 a piece. And for five of them, it's almost like $1,600. And I'm like, I'd be stupid not to. I screenshotted all of it, sent it to Sienna, and I start like really breaking down the math of it for her. I'm like, it's only going to be like this much for this and this much for that. And if I have to have the shop take my tires off anyway, I might just have them switch over. And, you know, it would make sense to really do it right now. You only needed one taken off. I know. This is exactly why it ties into the guy math thing that me and Mark were talking about.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, they only have to take one off, but if I'm going to take one off, I should take them all off. And so after that conversation with him, and I'm like, man, it's just too good of a deal. And Sienna's like, well, you know, it would be a birthday present. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, I've been wanting to move up to 285s for a long time, and I keep talking about it and not doing nothing. And this is just such a good deal. Yeah, such a good deal. And so I went up and he worked with me to try to get them. I have to bring him the actual wheel back because he gave to me all of them, even the one with the wheel on it, because I had to get it all done by Saturday. So I left was like Saturday morning, picked all the tires up from Cooper's Hudsonville, and then ran all the way straight to Never Enough. And then straight to Never Enough in Sienna's car. And while we switched cars, I drove the FJ, she drove the car. And we backed up to Never Enough, dropped the tires out. Then we had them switch it. And, oh, okay, well, there's mud on your tires. Can you take it to the car wash across the street and wash the mud out? I'm like, I thought I fucking already did. So I do it to try to do it again. And then apparently they didn't get all of it. I'm like, you know what? I'm not laying on the fucking ground. Like, just scrape it out. Charge me the extra, whatever. So they scraped it out. And then they're like, oh, well, you know, by the way, your spare tire, the new tires are so big that they were hitting my bumper when mounted just normally. So they had to find a spacer, and they found like a Chevy spacer that fit. And they're like, well, it's like $40 for the spacer. And I look at Sam, I'm like, well, we're already in the hole. Let's keep digging. And I'm like, they're like, or we could put it back in your car. And I'm like, well, I mean, what the fuck? If I don't do this now, Like, I'm going to wait and wait and wait, and then I won't have a spare tire. So I'm like, just do it now. And so they put this Chevy spacer on there. And then they're like, well, one of your threads is fucked up in the back. And I'm like, what? You know what? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, at this point, like, it's getting to 12 and I got to go to work soon. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, just fix it. And so it ended up being a little bit more than we thought. But we got all the wheels on. The spacer's on the back and I got my other wheel on. They're like, hey, you know, you might not want to do this long term. And I'm already like, it's $300 for the fucking, for the kit to relocate it. So right. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be there for a little bit. It's low on my list. So yeah, I mean, might.
What's the worst that the spacer would do? Bend your door? Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah, I could definitely hear it. I could hear the back door area just rawr, 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 when I hit bumps now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I could hear that a little bit more.
Just de-weld it.
I just, I will say that the Wild Peaks are really, really good looking on there.
They look a lot more aggressive.
I took it to a trail that night, and as I was telling Mark earlier, they ride so much harder than I was expecting.
Did you wear them down?
No, not at first. I didn't. At first I didn't. And I was like, fuck, these things are hard. Like, I'm feeling this. And, you know, they're a different load range too. So they're a little harder to puncture, I guess, but
are they load range E?
The one up, I forget whatever I think they are anyway. So that, or they're just really thick. They're just more of a thicker tire than what I'm used to as far as my all terrains go. And so at first I was like, man, these are really hard. I tried doing an obstacle. If you're heading to Prairie and you take that low Y, and it goes down that hill to where the, there's like a little trail. Mm-hmm. You remember when I took you guys up there and I climbed up that little fucking hill and up and down?
Yeah.
And well, I tried doing that one and I walked up that last time and I tried doing it again. And just dug fucking ruts, like it was just struggling almost to get up there. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I kind of got irritated about that. I'm like, man, what, these fucking tires suck. I just dug holes because they're so meaty. And then, so I backed up, put it back in low, and then crawled through it, aired down. And when I aired down to like 20 PSI. And then I'm like, ah, that's better.
And yeah, because I run load range E's. And I drive around on 40 PSI, but if I go on a trail at 40 PSI, one, I'm going to get the shit beat out of me. And two, it does not do very well. It just digs holes.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe that's what it was. And so now I'm like, fuck, maybe I should just drive on 20 PSI all the time. And, or 20, I think it was at like 24, 23, something like that. So I'm just driving around there and everything was better. My ride was better, smoother. I get on the road, my ride's better, smoother on the road. And I'm like, damn. but also you get, when you air down, you get that little bit of shift when you drive, where your tires aren't completely aired up. You can feel a shift when you're steering and stuff. And I still feel the shift and that bothered me. So
I ended up airing up. I don't think that I would run them below 33, 34, but on the road,
that's what they're set at. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I would keep them on the road.
Mm. That's what my PSI was set at from, never
enough.
So yeah, when I went to check, they were at like 34, 35 when they were full. And then when I aired them down, I just aired them at 20. I'd be interested to see how low I could go with those, but I could tell you, like, comparatively to my old ones, the going down even 20 was a major difference. Like, you could barely tell. And that's why I think I went up a load range from the old ones, because you remember I talked to you, I think, about it. When you're aired down, it doesn't even look like you're aired down. And when I aired down, it was like fucking like,
yep, that's because
overflowing overflowing fucking muffin over the top is what it looked like to me. Like, and it's like, and now I think I'm there too. So
yeah, because mine, when I air down, if I'm on semi-level ground, you can't tell.
Yeah, it was a little harder to tell with even with 20, but I would go about 10 on sand and then like 15 on just regular obstacles. Like just like poker run type stuff. And so I'm interested to bring it down to like 14 or 15 and see what they do.
Yeah. Cause I usually on trails, usually I'm about 15.
Yeah.
I'll go down to 10 if it's a really sandy trail, like Croton to White Cloud. I will sit around 10 for that trail. Anything around the Croton area, that whole little section there, always 10 because it's so sandy.
Yeah,
loose just sand. Because you don't want to dig or what?
Well, one at 10, I have like no, I basically absorb all the bumps, so I don't really notice them. Yeah. And then also, it doesn't dig as much.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering as far as because now mine are a little bit closer to what yours are, tread wise, tread depth wise. So yeah. That's why I was curious.
You're not quite as deep as mine. You're quite a bit not as deep as mine, but maybe like half as deep.
Wait,
maybe a little more. His is meant for grabbing mud, so his is
mine. Yeah, those mud trains are really deep.
No, mine are pretty deep for what I'm used to, but I don't know, man. They look good. They seem to handle really well so far on stone stuff. So I'm excited to try them out. I'd like to go out this weekend, but we'll see. I don't know where to go anymore.
I think I'm done wheeling for a little while.
I was gonna ask if you want to do. I think it was Joe and Derek's birthday run at Rocks and Valleys again.
Yeah, I can't. I also found a new frame hole, so that's got to happen in the next couple weeks.
I forgot about that.
Man, that's so I was joking around with MST earlier, and they're like, you're definitely part of the botches crew. I'm like, like 60-40, like, or 40. I'm like, I'm 50-50 in and out. And they're like, no, you're definitely in there. And I was like, well, you can't just lump me in with those guys because I do a podcast with them and I live close proximity. They're like, no, that's exactly why we could. But I only say that because I wheel with you guys probably 30% of the time I wheel.
Yeah.
And that's because there's either like we're all working, our schedules don't align, or there's someone with a break.
Yep. Yeah.
Like a third gen.
I went so long with ignoring breaks that now that they're popping up, it's like, fuck, man, it's broken again.
Yeah.
Why so, did I ignore this?
So while I am an active botches member, I am also probably almost equally active MST. I think if they were to start a podcast, I would love to co-host a podcast with MST.
So the thing is, the MST isn't a club or anything. Like we're a club.
We're an actual group. Yeah.
So the way we look at it, MST is a place for individuals and groups to get together to make trips.
Yeah.
But they're not a group. Are they an awesome tool for the community? Yes, 100%.
Oh yeah.
See, I kind of see him as almost a group at this point because I don't see. There. Yeah. I mean, I see them. I would say for me, the way that I treat them and look at them as a group, I would say this is a club because it has a certain amount of members, because we do what we do, because we, you know, come and hang out and do this stuff. But like
the general MST chat that you know, the one that you're in.
Yeah,
that I would say is more like a fan club, and then there's a core MST group that does a lot more stuff just them. Mm-hmm. That little group I would consider a club.
Yep,
they have their own separate chat and everything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I would say that feels like a fan club, but it's weird. But
because they're really not a club, like.
Well, I don't think they're a club. I think they're a group.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like overlaying for the pores. No, like they have like the Jeep clubs and stuff like that. They have their own little, or like motorcycle clubs, you know, with their own little patch and stuff. That's how I think of botches. It's a club. I don't think of it as a group that we like. I don't think of it as a group that we lead, like other groups, or we do like massive trail rides, or we do, you know, any of the other stuff that MST does. Well,
I mean, we really do, but not very often, not this year.
Because of, well, yeah, I was going to say because of that stuff that I mentioned previously, but also mostly the biggest thing, time. But
yeah, because we, last year we were the only, other than Derek and, you know, the core members, we were the only people doing rides that, you know, we were the only one leading rides and stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, for me, I see.
I think only a handful I can think of actually made events or was leading rides.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's like, I think if, as much as I was active in it, like, mm-hmm. I would see myself as like, I would say some kind of percentage in and out of that. And I would love for that to become something else too. I think MST has a lot of potential that has yet to earn. Yeah. Or to hit, you know, I think MST would be a cool podcast place too. And it would be the same, but different. It's almost like hitting, it's like Walmart and Myers. Like they hit a different target. Yeah. They hit, you know, they would be able to talk a lot more user friendly over landing, I think, more than it would be more targeted off roading.
I don't think they ever would get to that point because of who, sorry, Derek, who the leader is. If you pay attention to, like, you know, they kind of do their live stream thing, and that's more the style that Derek would end up with all the time of just,
I think they just
chaos.
I think they just need someone who would be like, hey, I'll pilot this. I'll champion this.
I tried.
Right. But like, I think that's what they need is like when, like an admin or something to go, you know what? Yeah. Hey, I'm going to start doing this. Let me know if you guys want to come in and just do it like once a week or, you know,
but I think, like, Jeep Derek, he made the comment, they're not as big of fans as the podcast style because they like their big thing is the community involvement, where the community, you know, can talk back as they're doing it, which there's a way to do that podcasting. And I've tried to explain that, but
yeah. And it's, you want to do it easy and stuff. I get it from their point of view too. I think
just podcasting, fall back to Facebook.
Yeah. I think that podcasting has a way to get out there. And then, you know, they send in questions and you read them on the next podcast, and it's just fuel just for the next fire. Well, yeah, live streaming is cool
because
too, but
the cool thing with like podcasting 2.0 is we have the ability to just put a live podcast out and it'll show up right in the podcast app.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, like, I feel like there's room to grow there, especially with like the group, the events that they put on. Like, yeah. I would say that the Poker Run event was super cool, and it could definitely have some improvements, but for the first annual one, it was like, this is really cool. I've never done anything like this, and
I feel like fun. The Poker Run was a step up on their event content, if that makes sense, because before, you know, they lead group rides, which are fine. But this was the first time that I feel like Derek reached out and did something different, and I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think MST appeals to, I think, almost a different group than what I think the botches originally would. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think MST is, and I don't mean this in a weird or bad way or anything, but it's more of a beginner's group. As far as, you know, doing the overlanding, camping, and trails, whereas Botches has a little bit more specifically into the off-roading and the challenge aspect to it. Is that safe to say?
And we're picky. Yeah. We're not just going to accept anyone.
too.
Well, right. But that, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of half and half, is because I do like a little bit of what we do for the Botches, you know, as far as the trails and stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm very much interested and would love to do something with the newbie overland and just the general large population of like the overland community. And I just think it would be really cool as far as, you know, just engaging with different gear talks and different types of tours and stuff like that, that they do. It'd be cool content.
I think it could very easily be cool content. Like I said, I tried to get the Derek's, cause it's Jeep Derek and Lexus Derek, But I tried talking to them about it a little bit because I think that a podcast makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah,
me too. I think that their personalities don't really fall into the want to sit here and talk about shit for an hour without being interrupted.
Right. Yeah, I suppose. I think there's definitely something there for it, but I just, like I said, I think they need to have the right push for it. Yeah, and to actually want to do it more than just a hobby too. Cause at that point you're doing it for more than just a hobby.
Yeah. Speaking of other things that are changing, I talked to Cindy Pope last night about possibly putting Northology on RSS so that it just auto downloads rather than having to download it from your email.
You should have Cindy Pope talk to us about having Northology on the podcast as far as a sponsor.
Maybe. We got another one of those little sponsor things that we're kind of working out.
Wouldn't that be so cool to have Northology on there?
So
that would be really cool.
Now, what would be really cool is if the listeners would just boost in so we don't have to look for sponsors. So we don't have like 4 minutes of commercials.
Honestly, I would really enjoy actually going into one of Cindy Pope's articles and just reading an article from one of her overlanding, like specifically an overlanding.
You know what I'm saying? A really cool like commercial per se is not so much a commercial, but just every episode have a segment where we read something. Well, not every episode,
right?
Like once a month, we read one of the articles from that month's magazine. And oh yeah. Anyone listening, look up Northology. Cindy Pope does some amazing things. I know we've had her on here before.
Yep.
But her online magazine is the bee's knees. I read it every month.
Yeah.
After downloading it and putting it on my e-reader because I'm a weirdo. Yeah.
But yeah, I think adding that on there, and then I think doing just like a, you know, if she has a section on overlanding the QAnon for an instance,
yep,
we read the section out loud and then talk about it, that specifically about overlanding
this last month,
whatever.
Yeah, this last month she had an article about like the top 5 adventure destinations in the Midwest. That was a really fun read.
Yeah. So stuff like that we could do. And I think that would be really interesting. That adds some spark to our podcast a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Give someone and a little bit something else and maybe
I also
listen in.
I want to start doing at the end of every episode, which we'll start this. Okay. You'll have already heard one.
Yeah. Because
we'll start it on the episode that comes out before this one. I want to start doing the radio chatter cards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
would get out of my truck. Cool.
Yeah, I need to do that.
I don't even know what these are.
So radio chatter.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, it's a game where you know, it's a conversation style game where I read a card and then you answer the card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be a really fun one. To do like radio chatter Monday or radio chatter Sunday, or you know, like maybe we do one like a 30-minute radio chatter every other week or so.
I think just having one card at the end of every episode would work really well. We have the extended deck for the NSFW stuff too, so that's fun.
Okay, we could do like a radio chatter for our 1 hours, yeah.
Not for these half hour ones, definitely not. But like this 1 hour ones. Hour.
This is so much longer.
This conversation's going so well, we may as well go for an hour. Cool, you're getting extra content on Sunday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really think that radio chatter, you know, it's a tool that's there for us and it's a really fun tool. So that'd be another person to talk to about sponsors, I guess.
Chatter radios,
radio chatter.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
sounds like my son's being a beluga whale in the background.
I don't know if you heard that. So
all I hear is
did not hear that. Sorry for the cough.
No, you know, my son, which brings back, I have to talk about this for a second. He's done so well with this overlanding off-road stuff. It's been great. He's been basically, and this sounds really bad, but he's been basically raised in the car seat while we've been doing this. And that sounds horrible, but it's not as bad as it sounds. He's while we're on the trails and we're taking real slow trails that are very safe, everybody. So just cut the bull crap.
No, you don't do it. DNR. He's saying a hypothetical.
Yeah, no. I'm the safety officer. My kid has a ball. He's unstrapped. He's just hanging around in the car. Like, we just pretend like it's the 70s and he just crawls all over the place. No, he actually, this last time, this is the first time in ever that he stayed in his seat the entire time just to watch. And this was the coolest watching him, because we'd get out. Like, when we got stuck, he's out watching us, and he's just leaning over the side of the seat like,
did Sienna get a picture of that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You should send that to me, so when I do chapter art, maybe I'll even use that for the episode.
Well, she got the picture of him up in the front seat while I was out grabbing her radio. He was grabbing the radio. He was trying to talk to you guys, and so he's done so well. He did so well. He slept for a good part of it, and then when he did get up, he was just all about it. And I tell you what, man, it's a great feeling to see it. And then, you know, the other day, he actually got into his car seat in the house, got into it, stood in it, and did the sign for more. Like, he wanted to go on more rides. If you didn't look at him and you didn't know what he was about, you'd be like, what are you talking about? But the fact that he got in his car seat, which we only put him at if we go on rides, and went more, I was like, dude, you want to go on more trails? I'm like, fuck yeah, I can't tell you no. And it's just really cool. It's really cool seeing him grow up there. I don't think
I've ever seen that kid unhappy on a ride. So
No. He has his moments, obviously. Every kid does, but he's just been such a joy to watch grow up this year. And we have like a fireplace in our living room, and it's been so cold these past couple, you know, days that we've actually took the cover off it that we have there to keep him out, because we were kind of scared of him going in it. And he sees the fire now. It's like he's at camp, and he just stays away. He just doesn't do anything with it. Like, he's seen fire so much because of all of our camping this year that it does nothing for him anymore. He doesn't try to get into it. He doesn't try to fuck with anything in there. Like, it's like, he's just like, oh, yep, there's a fire, and like walks away. And I'm like, I looked at Sienna and I'm like, oh, what did we create? This is so cool. Like, our kid doesn't want to jump into the fire pit. Like, what are we doing? This is awesome. Like, so it's been really cool. Yeah. I've just kind of been thinking back about it since we started the new year. And I guess I get my 30th birthday tomorrow, and it's like, man, where's all the time gone? So it's crazy. I had to talk about 30. That though, man. Yeah. Dirty 30.
Old fucking man.
I really feel like it though, man. I'm like, definitely been looking back at my life a little bit lately, and I've been like, I can get my shit together. Not the conventional way, like everybody else might think, but like, dude, if I really want to do this wheeling shit, and I want to do what I enjoy doing so much, then I really need to find a job that helps me do it more. You know what I mean? And not restricts it. So, if anybody that listens to me that works with me is listening, don't tell. But I've been looking for other options. You always keep your eyes open. Just, I've been looking a little harder lately because my job prior had weekends off, which made it very possible to just take $100 and go on a ride and camp for a couple of days and come back. So,
I mean, I recently had an interview with a certain, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to jinx it, but a certain mesh radio company that exists in the world. are looking for a new sales guy, and I interviewed for it.
That would be really cool because you're definitely a guy to do it.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're definitely the guy that would be do it. You'd also get drafted right as you got the job and be like, God damn it.
I'm past that point. They can't just draft me out of the blue anymore. Yeah. I've done my time. 10 years, man. I did 10 years of that crap.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, you liked you so much. We're going to have you come back and do a reunion tour. Like,
I mean, honestly, if they brought me back and brought back all my equipment that they have since replaced, I would be down because I miss using it.
Yeah. No, I, it's just, you know, my wife's been complaining about her job too and how much she hates retail. I hate retail, man. I firmly believe that retail at the store level is not to be done your whole life. Like, it's not a life job. And it's so easy for me to get burnout now.
Yeah, but you get to see me like once a week at least.
Barely.
You missed
anymore.
Me the other day.
Yeah.
I was there the other day and you were there, but I couldn't find you.
I was probably crying in the bathroom.
I don't miss working retail.
No, I tell my wife, I'm like, you know what? I just want to work like IT or something in an office. I don't care that I don't work blue collar. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like after you get to a certain age, that whole blue collar pride thing goes out the shitter because you start getting old and you're like, once you work,
counts blue collar.
Yeah. 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 And then
I love farming.
Right. But like once you work like a white collar job and then you're like, ooh, it's like getting into a Lexus after you've been driving a third gen for so long and then being like, wow, I have air conditioning. Wow. My shit doesn't break every time I get into it.
I worked a white collar job where I sat in an office all day, every day for almost 2 years. And I am so glad that I get to run a farm now.
See, that's for me. It's like, I did a bunch of blue collar stuff because blue collar was like all entry level. They just treat you like dog shit and work you to the bone. And that was fine because I did it and it required zero experience. But then I'm getting older and I'm kind of realizing like, hey, you know, working my ass off and making, you know, less money than some of these other jobs where you could be sitting down or doing something less like I hate to sound like a lazy fuck, but at the same time, it's like I'm all about if I have to go to work in the first place, then why the fuck am I pushing myself so damn far to like overwork myself for less money than what I was making while I was sitting in a chair typing in data?
When I was in white collar jobs, the reason I like farming so much better is the white collar job is all fucking politics. You have to do extra to keep your job. You have to, it was terrible.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. I could see being in certain white collar jobs that being like insurance salesman or something as a salesman, having that constant competition. But like what I was doing at the time, which was like an analytical, like lab tech.
Yeah.
That was so nice. I could clock in, I put my headphones on, I do all the lab stuff. You know, a lot of it's just like, hey, we need you to test 300 of these samples. Okay. Yeah. Everybody leaves me alone. I put my headphones in, I test 300 samples, put them into a spreadsheet and leave, and then come back the next day, do it again. And it's like, I loved that.
I did inventory control, and honestly, I loved the job. I just hated the atmosphere of the job. Like the people worked with were hot fucking garbage, dude.
Yeah.
We had this one woman who I'm not 100% sure she was a woman, but you know, whatever, she was a woman, and she would just get in my face and scream at me. And it finally got to a point where I snapped on her.
Yeah. But I don't know that I could ever do something where they're actually doing that.
Shit? Fuck no.
Yeah, see, yeah, my white collar job was nothing like that. It was like, oh my god, hey Gavin, so glad to see you. Like, what are you doing today? I'm like, this is what I'm doing today. And they're like, oh my god, this is great. Thanks. That was it.
And mine was like a war.
I think that's the difference, is you just have to find the right one. Right. And I'm not convinced, but if I want to start I don't know, how investing in my future a little bit more as far as like what I want to do for the rest of my life. I feel like IT would be like a really good middle ground if I could do some kind of eventually get good enough to do like a remote IT position.
I can help you get certified for that. I have lots of those kind of certs.
Yeah, I mean, because at that point, being able to do remote IT work for other companies or anything like that, that would be really freaking nice that you could do something like that from the road.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of it like long term from, hey, what jobs can I do that I could do anywhere?
Right.
It's kind of where I'm at because how I want to do it is I want to leave. I don't want
to. We just need the podcast to blow up so that we just have to do a podcast twice a week. And that's it.
I'd do one 4 times a week if that's what it took.
Fuck, I would do one every single
fucking day.
If all I had to do was sit down and talk to you fucks for an hour every day, and then spend an hour.
If all we had to do,
done.
If all we had to do was bullshit 7 days a week, we do that already. We do that already. We just type it off into our chat. Fuck it. I'll bring it to life.
No, we should never release the botches chat to the public.
No. No. After we get caught and the feds fuck us, the DNR fucks us or something, maybe they'll release the chat. I saw
some conversations earlier.
That's why the botches chat is on an undisclosed platform that is very locked down.
Yo. By the way, this is completely off topic, but have you seen that Sean Ryan podcast with Green Beret in reference to the Tesla bomber who was also a Green Beret?
No, but you should send that to me because I will definitely throw it on my Zoom and listen to it.
Oh, my God. First of all, Sean Ryan and I forget who she is, the blonde CSI or CSI, the CIA operative or whatever, intelligence operative. Nah. But the information that she has, oh my God, is fucking like eye-opening crazy. Does and then this guy, kind of the fact that she knows. Yeah. And, but then so apparently this guy on Sean comes on to Sean Ryan and the Green Beret that did this Tesla bombing thing.
Yeah.
Worked. Sent this email to him on Proton.
Yeah.
You've heard of that, right?
Oh, I know exactly what Proton is.
Yeah. Which is what I have too. That's what my main email. And sent it to him on Proton saying that there is a whole different story to what's actually going on there, that he is actually working on some top secret, like, propulsion system stuff for the US government, and that China has some kind of gravitic propulsion system that they've been working on, which is what we're seeing, and they're launching them out of subs in the Atlantic Ocean, and that's what we've been seeing lately, and that the US and China are like both have gravitic systems that are so like there's this long thing about that going on and like some war crimes stuff that we're going into this letter. He then tries to, you know, at the beginning of it, he identifies himself by, you know, like what his first car was. So like there's this huge that just blew up overnight because it was basically him saying that, hey, he's being tailed by the FBI, he's being tailed by this, and he has these IED, you know, the vehicle borne explosives in his car for a reason. Trying to bring awareness to this stuff, but also to keep deterring from these FBI agents that are trying to fuck with them. So there's this whole fucking letter, and then they talk about how this guy was, you know, a good Green Beret and stuff, like never had any really issues. So all this dropped here like last week, and then like 2 days ago, which after this dropped, it was an emergency podcast. After this dropped, Sean Ryan went radio silent. Said he's going to be dropping out for a little while. And then all of a sudden, that same guy that did this interview a couple days later, everyone's going, he does another interview with someone else. And he's like, you know, it could be that he went off his meds or something. And he starts talking. He like switches up completely.
Okay, so like, to be honest though, I have a very dear friend who may or may not listen to this. And when he goes off his meds, dude, the shit that comes out of that dude's mouth, it's off the wall.
So and this is where I'm at, is like, so do we believe that maybe, so there are some other people that were saying like, hey, there's no way this guy would have this kind of training or clearance to work on anything like this. Hey, gravitic propulsion systems are bullshit, blah, blah, blah. So do we believe that? Or do we believe that maybe he went off his meds? Or do we believe that this other guy was influenced so badly by some other, you know, some other ghost forces out there that he was almost forced to switch up his thinking on it to try to backpedal people?
I don't know that there's a silent war going on between us and China. I wouldn't be surprised per se, but I do think that there's a lot of validity to the possibility that he went off his meds.
I think that too. But I think that it's almost a split chance. You know what I mean? Because I think that, and I think a lot of people agree with this stance, is what we've seen that the government has compared to what they haven't shown us is hundreds, probably years, you know, from what they actually have, you know what I mean?
So having, you know, I had a top secret clearance up until like a year ago, 'cause it expired. I would say that in my experience and with what I've done, I would say the government has 10 to 12 years above where we're at technology wise.
So with that knowledge, like gravitic propulsion systems, to me is believable. It's not like they were fucking with that shit in World War II. I believe Germany was trying to figure out how to fly things.
I don't think that it's implausible at all. I just don't think that we're in a silent war with China.
I think we've been in a silent war, but not in the way that people are typically used to wars. I think within tariffs, within. So he also ties in that balloon issue with China that happened last year, whatever. He ties that in with the same surveillance network that these gravitic propulsion systems are also trying to, that are also doing. So that balloon is tied to the same surveillance network that China is putting out with these propulsion systems, which, because they're manipulating gravity, they have almost an unlimited payload, which is an end all for the US as far as if anyone was to actually use them.
I mean, I want to die in space when I'm 80 years old, so I have faith that this is what's happening. Because again, how else am I going to get to space when I'm 80 years old?
I don't know, man. Ashes?
No, I have to be 80.
No, he needs to be alive. He wants
gun to be alive. To my head. Like, I want to be like, staring at Earth from orbit when I pull the trigger.
I was going to say, man, if you die sooner than that, I will have you cremated and we'll put you in a weather balloon.
After our friend Cody eats my finger, because that is our deal.
Okay, that needs to be talked about as far as this prior to death or cremation.
Yeah, it has to be prior to cremation,
because he can't do like the cinnamon challenge and just assume it's part of your finger.
Yeah, no, he has to.
He's just gonna take a spoonful of your ashes. Oh, sorry, I didn't get here fast enough.
He has to grill it on a grill and eat it like a rib.
I feel like it would still be good though. Like, I'd try a bite.
Right, this one's.
If you, I mean, I already know all of our answers to this, but if you were to, someone was to give you guilt-free, cannibalistic, made of human food that was grilled, fully cooked, it's fully safe to eat, it's guilt-free, the person died and donated it, would you eat it?
So down.
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
100%. It depends. What did they die of?
Mark. What about you?
I have no answers for this one right now.
He's like, you guys, what the fuck? How about this? It was in the 1920s. It was a girl who worked at a paint factory painting dials.
Nope, I'm good.
On watches.
I am good to go. I do not need that quick death.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, that fucking ADHD of mine, I had to inform our today's youth of the Radium Girls. And how sad is that you have to inform people about that?
Dude, how sad is it that you have to inform people about 9/11?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it's like 35, 40-year-old, and then some teenagers. They're like, Radium Girls, what are you talking about? I'm like, are you kidding me? What of the worst? This is like one of the worst in all U.S. history that is widely known. Like,
a Radium Watch.
That's very special. But it's just like that business completely extorted these women. Right. And it's one of the worst examples of businesses doing that ever recorded. And the fact that they got away.
Yeah.
They made a law like what in the 40s? Like, hey,
yeah,
if it's dangerous in the work environment, then you have to pay for it. All of a sudden these businesses stopped. But fuck Radium in the 20s. They were like, hey, take this for your kid. It'll make your kid stop kicking your belly. Well, yeah.
The Radium Girls, I don't look at it so much. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. They were extorted because they didn't get a very livable wage. But, you know, at the time, radium wasn't looked at as a dangerous substance.
I say that because when it was found out, not only did the company have examples of that already and chose to ignore them, they had plenty of stuff done and plenty of instances where this stuff was happening that they covered it up.
Right.
And they chose to ignore it because they were making buku bucks on this. So,
but I mean, at the beginning, I don't think it was like, I don't think they went out to extort. I think they ended up extorting.
Yeah. I mean, with all things, even like lead pipes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, with all things you do it in, like you're honestly trying to make it better, but you know, lead in pipes and asbestos in our walls and stuff like that. You always think you know everything until, you know, 40 years later and all of a sudden smoking's fucking killing you. Like,
well, oh, on that note, now that the world is ending and Gavin has told us how it will end.
Yeah.
That's all from us here at Podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for joining the last 15 minutes of Conspiracy Podcast with the Botches Off-Road Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
Later.
Man, I hope next time comes soon.